We're in a church building talking about stuff. Money comes up, and the first thing that pops into everybody's head is money is the root of all evil. That's not my belief. That's not what God said. The love of money is the root of all evil, but money itself is a tool that we just about can't live without in one form or another. Now, there are circumstances where people live solitary lives for their entire life. It is very rare, and it's usually noteworthy of Hollywood, because almost without exception, humans have to interact with other humans for continued survival. That interaction ends up in a trade-off of goods, of knowledge, or of support. Whatever is traded for these things, other goods, other knowledge, other support, or some sort of monetary device, is money. We all live with it. We all have to have it. We all think about it, and just about all of us stress about it at one point or another, to one degree or another. Ohio State University did a survey of its college students and found that a third of them neglected their studies due to financial concerns. Half of them were concerned about being able to pay their monthly expenses, and nearly three-quarters of them felt stressed about their personal finances. Okay, these are kids. They're in college. What does that matter? These are the future of our country. These are the future leaders. These are the future business owners. These are the future our posterity. And what are they doing? They're not studying. They're staying up late worrying. They're putting their studies in the back burner because money is a huge concern in their life. I can understand. I mean, for a young person, that's a large responsibility to start dealing with life and money and all that kind of, okay, fine. But we're adults. We don't fall into that same category. We don't have that same problem. We don't stress about money, right? The American Psychological Association, again, conducted a survey in which they found a quarter of Americans felt extremely stressed about money, and nearly two-thirds of them reported money as a significant source of their stress. Have y'all read the next one yet? One in five Americans skip medical care for financial concerns. Let me ask you a question. Can any of you afford to have brain surgery right now? I doubt any of us here could. There may be a few people in the country, a handful, who could afford to write a check for it. We have insurance for that kind of thing, right? Has anyone here ever, at a point in their life, not had insurance? Probably most of us. Did you know you can still have brain surgery? There's 1,000 programs out there for medical care. This country of ours doesn't need a special thing. We have a million ways that you could get medical care, to some degree or another, to fix your problem. You know why we're not doing it? I think we're addicted to stress. I really think that we don't know what to do if we're not stressing. We think that money is so important, it's more important than fixing the problems with our bodies. It's like we'd rather die than spend or have money, or not have money. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The last one, a third of Americans report money as a problem in a relationship. Don't raise your hand. I already know all of you in here. At one point or another have argued, fought, or disagreed with a loved one about money in some way. We fall into that thing. You see, money is something that our lives are tied to. And so when our lives are moved, changed, affected by that significant resource, it causes stress in our lives. You know what? I'm fine with that. I'm fine. The problem is we fall into the trap of hanging on to it. We fall into the trap of thinking that it rules our life. Oh, wow. Money rules your life. Well, you know what? In a way, it can. Another survey says that 1 in 3 reported that personal financial stress distracted them at work. You know what that does? It causes work-related stress. You know what that does? Decreases your productivity, makes your boss mad at you, maybe you get demoted or you lose your job. You know what that does? Causes more stress about personal finances. You got to go look for another job. Boy, that could really just pile on, couldn't it? How do we fix this problem with money? Because we can talk about money and how it hurts us all the day, but that's one of the things that all of us understand. We all understand how money stresses us out. And I have to reiterate, the fact that we feel stress is not a bad thing. Remember the gazelle, the lion. We're humans. We have part of those instincts in us. Stress helps us. It motivates us. It directs us. It causes us, like that spring, to explode into action, to react to situations. Stress is okay. It's hanging on to it, not letting it go. You can't contain that spring forever without something breaking. The spring or what's containing it. So let's use our 5 things. Let's use time, our friends. Let's think about the future, prioritize things, and change our mindset. Begin with time. Or if you recall, with the work environment, we want to separate ourselves from the stressful environment by mentally taking a break. Rest in the Lord, Proverbs said, or as Psalmist said. Rest in the Lord. Take a break. Separate yourself mentally from the stressful situation. Well, what I want to do is the exact same thing with money, but we're actually going to separate ourselves physically from the problem. So we're standing in line. We're at Walmart, everybody's favorite place. You're standing there, you got 3 people in front of you. You got your milk, you got your eggs, and a blanket, and a pillow, because, well, I'm in the doghouse tonight, so I got to have a blanket and a pillow, right? Okay. And I'm standing in line, waiting to pay, and there's a Snickers bar sitting right there. You know why they put that there? Yeah, because I'm going to buy it, and they know that. So what I want you to do is use time as a tool. There's a Snickers bar right there, and it looks pretty good. So think about this. We're going to consider things. How much food is in that Snickers bar? You know, how hungry am I? What is the value of the food content in that Snickers bar? How good is it for you? Well, we'll consider that for that long and then, you know, ignore it. And that's okay. Now I want you to turn around. I want you to look at those people in line in front of you and wait for them to check out. If you still want that Snickers bar, grab it. But by doing that, you avoid the impulse. I want a new car. Don't go down to the dealer and take a test drive, Dad. Get online. Talk to your neighbor. You got a car like that? What's it like? You know what they're going to tell you? Good and bad. On the internet, it's awesome because it's a highway that has road signs all the way down it, and you can get any information you want. What you will get are both sides of the argument, if you look hard enough. And I want you to. Look hard for the opinions, the pros and the cons. What you're going to find are people saying, I like that one better. You know what that's going to make you do? Go research that one too. And eventually, you're going to find the car you want. Somebody else is going to say, yeah, but this one's almost as good. It's like $20,000 less. It doesn't have the L on it. It's got the F. Now suddenly, by spending a little bit of time and considering your purchase, You can save a lot of money. If you still want the L, buy it. Okay, fine. But you've avoided the impulse. You've avoided the idea that you simply get what you want. Because now you have gained knowledge. And you've acted, oh, wait a minute. That sounds like I'm building up to a scripture, doesn't it? Let's go to Proverbs. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. Money, my friends, it is a tool. Use it. And time, slowing yourself down from your natural desires, will help you to use it. Use your friends. How can you use your friends to make money work for you? Anybody ever hear of Dave Ramsey? Probably most of you or some of you. He's got some great advice on money. One of his things is have 3 months of a nest egg. Well, that might work for you, might not. You might need 3 days, you might need 3 years. But see, the problem with Dave Ramsey is he's not your friend. Not my friend either. I don't know the guy. I think he's got great advice, but I don't know the guy. What I want you to do is talk to your friends. Talk to your friends about their situations. How do you pay your bills? Online, the mail, whatever. When do you pay your bills? 2 days early, right on time, 10 days late? What are your goals for your money in retirement? Do you work the stock market? How do you save money? How do you spend money? Talk to your friends because they will tell you some great things and some terrible things. And then when you talk to your other friends, you can compare those. What are we doing? We're using the guidance of our support system to gain knowledge so that we can throw away the bad, accept the good, and build on it. Proverbs 19 says to listen to counsel and then accept discipline. You know what I do wrong with money? A lot. This is telling me, You're not great with money, so maybe you should listen and do what they are saying. Oh, but then I wouldn't be able to buy the Snickers bar. You want me to not buy a Snickers bar for a whole year? Yeah, twice a week buying a Snickers bar, that's like $50. Oh, that's why. Accept discipline and listen to the counsel. By gaining wisdom, remember, a wise man works with knowledge. By using the knowledge you have and then applying that with the discipline of changing your style of doing whatever you're doing, you're going to end up avoiding the pitfalls that everybody else falls into with money. What are those pitfalls? Well, for the most part, when somebody sees a dollar sign or thinks about a dollar or talks about a dollar, they're never talking about yesterday. They're rarely talking about today. They're usually talking about tomorrow. More importantly, the future. When you're going to retire, what are you going to do next year, how about next week, or vacation next summer, the future. What are your goals associated with money? And what's it going to take for you to get there? All right, so what are your goals? Are your goals to be able to retire comfortably? Retire at the same level of life that you are now? Or a little lower, a little higher? Are your goals to be able to afford your kids college without them having to have the worries of monthly expenses? Are your goals to get rich? Oh, he said it again. You see, in each one of those situations, we're thinking about amassing funds. We're thinking about the dollar. We're thinking about what our lives are going to be based on the dollar. The dollar is ruling our life. 1 Timothy. Paul told Timothy, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works. We've already read this. Store up for yourselves treasure for a good foundation for the future. Cash? Didn't say a word about it. Retirement? Sorry, not in there. Kids' education? Well, I realize not many. Paul was educated. You know who paid for that? I don't. But I bet you money, his idea on how that works changed after his conversion. You see, when you retire and you have a lot of money in the bank, money's going to go away, or it's going to get bigger, but you're not 20 anymore. You might live to 110. You might die tomorrow. So how important is the money in your banking account? See, your goal needs to be focused on the important things in life. What are the important things? Doing good. Helping others. So, we've all heard this thing. We've all probably said the thing. And it usually comes around every Christmas season. It's better to give than receive. You know why? Because it feels good to get that really cool present that I've been wanting. And yeah! But you know what else is even better than that? Seeing the, I got him the perfect present. See how his excitement is in it? And then you also get the, that'd be good. See, you get it twice. You get the good feeling twice. That's why it's better to give than receive, right? No, it's better to give than receive because you're storing up with someone else. You are building them up with your care. You're showing them. Hold the door open for somebody at the store next time you get a chance. Hold the door open. When they walk by, they go, thank you. Don't just say you're welcome. Go, not a problem. I enjoyed it. And watch them. They will stop. They will hesitate. They will look at you like you're from Mars because nobody does that. Nobody cares anymore. And you can feel the pride and the joy in your heart grow in that moment by knowing that you affected somebody positively. That should be the work that you build up to. If you don't believe that this is relevant, go to that same store, open the door for the next person that walks in, hand them a quarter and go. They'll look at you like you came from Mars, and then they'll look down at the quarter and think that they just stole something from you, or you owe them, or they owe you. I mean, half of them probably won't take the quarter. There's no joy in the aspect of money. There is true joy in the aspect of helping others. So what is your priority? How important? See, money is stressful. Dealing with money is stressful. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. You know, milk isn't 50 cents a gallon. Gas isn't 75 cents a gallon. Everything goes up. Your paycheck? Probably not nearly as much. And if you're retired, it's just going to keep going down for the most part. Stress. Okay, that's all right. That's normal, though. But we can't dwell on it. Because then we're placing importance on the money. What's important? We need to make sure our priorities are in line. Where is the priority? In Luke 12, it says, then he said, y'all remember this story. This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. The man is a rich farmer. And he says, I have so much money. What I want to do, get rid of all that little bitty stuff. Throw it away. Come on, build me some really nice, nice barns and buildings. I want to walk home and see how rich I am. I want my neighbors to see how rich I am. And God says, that's cool. You're dying tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. How important is it? I'm not telling you not to buy the car with the L on it. No, go ahead. They're amazing cars. I deal with cars, thousands of them every day. And I rarely see a car with an L on it that's in bad condition. Okay, that's great. But do you buy it for that reason? Or did you buy it so people could see you? And then that is your priority. If your priority is based on money, you're doing it wrong. And that's why you're stressed out about money, is because money is now the important thing in your life. Not even the things you get by it. We have to change our mindset when we deal with money. We have to understand that your banking account and your paycheck don't have anything to do with how much money, wealth, value you are. Doesn't have anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, the more money you have, the harder it is to have the mindset of helping others with it. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it gets harder and harder. Because the poor man gets help, and so he knows how valuable that is and gives it when he can. The rich man doesn't ever need any help, and so he thinks of philanthropy. No, I'm not talking about philanthropy. I'm talking about doing good work, period. Because that's what you do. That's who you are. It's not something you do. It's what you do. We change our mindset to understand that we are the ones that determine how much value we have. He said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. That's thinking about money. That's wanting money. That's living with money as an important priority in your life. Be on your guard against it. For not even when he has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. The rich man built a bunch of barns so that they could see how rich and important he was. He was still the same guy. When they see him walking down the street, they're like, yeah, those are pretty barns, but this is the same guy that cut me off at that light on 10th Street. So maybe you don't call the cops on him or yell at him because he's really important. But that doesn't mean that you think that he's better because he's got a fancy house. He's still who he is. Over in Deming, there was a place that I just couldn't understand. And it's always stuck with me. There's a house. And very literally, one of the walls was cardboard. Every summer when we'd have our monsoons, they would try to put plastic over it and then have to replace the cardboard on that wall. They would never put brick or wood or anything on the wall except cardboard. Because there's a Chrysler with 24-inch chrome rims. And every 2 years, they'd buy a new car with bigger rims on it. You know, that was the same guy that lived in a cardboard house. Every 2 years, he was still the same guy that lived in a cardboard house. And everybody in town knew it. But he thought that it was more important to have a car than a house that kept the elements out, because that made him look bigger or better or whatever. No, everybody knew. It didn't change who he was. Didn't even change who people thought he was. When you have an abundance, you got stuff. That's all it is. It's not you. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It's just stuff. You know, honestly, from my experience, the more stuff you got, the more stuff you got to throw away. That's about all it ends up being. So we're going to deal with time. We're going to wait before we make those purchases, and we're going to consider, because a wise man acts with knowledge. We're going to consult our friends and learn from their behaviors. We're going to change our goals to be person and helpful oriented instead of money and amassing oriented. We're going to reprioritize our life so that money doesn't matter. You see, there's a little trick. If you walk out to the garden or to the yard and you grab the shovel and you walk out to the place in the ground that you want to dig the hole to plant the little flower, and you pick the shovel up and you beat yourself with the shovel, your neighbors are probably going to call the authorities to put you in the funny farm. But nobody does that with money. Why? I don't know. Money's just a tool. If you don't use it right, it doesn't dig the hole. It doesn't do what you need it to do. All it does is beat you up. all it does is destroy your life by amassing stress. It's a tool. Use it to accomplish the goals that you have prioritized in your life as important. Should be helping others, doing good, working for good, working for God. Because ultimately, happiness is not in a dollar bill. Even the dollar bill says, in God we trust. Happiness, my friends, is a state of mind. And you'll see that as a recurring theme, because there is nothing else that makes you happy. You can claim to be a Christian and be depressed and unhappy if you don't make yourself understand that God is there and He is amazing and your life is because of that. It's a state of mind. So what does God think about money? In Ecclesiastes, He says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income." He says, when good things increase, you ever thought about this? I mean, we say you make what you spend, or you spend what you make, right? But have you ever really thought about it? The preacher said, when good things increase, those who consume them increase. You know what an oil change costs on a Lexus? Just saying, it's not the same as a Ford Escort. In Matthew, chapter 6, we're told in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus speaks to us in Matthew. 4 verses later, He tells us a story that if we would listen to it, this seminar wouldn't be necessary. It says very plainly, very easily, very simply, with a bunch of analogies to make even a child able to understand. And yet, we block our heads off because our priorities are wrong and our goals are in the wrong place. We're not working for others. We try to work for ourselves. In verse 25, He begins, "For this reason I say to you, do not be..." What did Jesus say? Don't be worried. Don't be worried about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Or what you're going to drink, or where your clothes are going to... Don't worry about your car or your house. Don't worry about these things. Now, He doesn't say put them off to the side and fling care to the wind. He says don't stress out about it. Don't let it eat you. There's no sense in that. He said life is more than these little things, this stuff. This stuff is not life. He says, for example, you know the birds? They never worry about their food. They just eat what's in front of them. Okay, so what you can afford, buy it and eat it. And don't worry about it. Oh, but I don't know. Why? If you know what ramens cost? Ramen noodles? I mean, college kids. Those that aren't sleeping, yeah, they buy them and subsist on them. Okay, if it gets to it, we'll go to ramen noodles. It's okay. If you're not to that point, then it's even better. You know, ramen noodles aren't that bad, actually. He continues on. He says, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life?" You ever thought about that? What does worrying do? Yes. Decreases your lifespan by a crazy number, exponentially. He says, "And why are you worried about your clothes?" Exchange for that word, stuff. Why are you worried about stuff? Look at the flowers. Look how they grow. They're beautiful. They don't worry about stuff. They're just pretty. They give what God gives them. They take what God gives them, and they make the best of it. And that is their life. He says, even Solomon, the wisest man ever, even Solomon, in all his glory, wasn't as pretty as a flower. What he's saying here is, you got this beautiful thing. You don't need stuff to be pretty. Goes on to say, if God does that, how much more is He going to do for you? Because you're so much more important. Again, he says, do not worry. Don't say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to go? What are we going to drive? How are we going to make the house payment? You know what? Figure it out. Either you do or you don't. Give up some of that and do what you got to do here. But don't worry about it. That's not going to help. It doesn't change anything. He says, as a matter of fact, if you get your priorities right, if you set your goals in the right place, if you're worried about stress, then here's the answer. He says, seek first His kingdom. Think about God. Rest in the Lord. Remember? Time. Use it as a tool to help yourself. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. A wise man acts with knowledge. Okay, so learn and get that guidance from those around you. He says, and all these things will be added to you. What are all these things? What you need. The important things. Those priorities that you need to have in your life. And he says, and here's the important one, people. Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I don't know anybody that would disagree with that. 2,000 years ago, Dave Ramsey is doing nothing new. Neither am I. God says, get your priorities right. Think about Him. Take your time. Stop worrying about it. Stress is good. Continued stress. Not letting go of that stress. Doesn't make any sense because all it does is tear you down. Now, tomorrow night,